We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. Before we start tonight's show, here's a short announcement.
Following an item in last week's show about Tracy Emin providing the Tate Gallery with a canvas rather than a Christmas tree, Ms. Emin has contacted us to say how much she enjoyed the item, but has asked us to point out that proceeds from her work will go to the Terence Higgins Trust. This programme is happy to do so. We would also like to point out that Ms. Emin, far from being a talentless no-hoper with all the artistic insight of a pair of hush puppies, is not merely the leading artist of her generation, but she also has a really cracking taste in radio programmes.
We start with a notice seen in the bowling alley in Aberystwyth, read by Charlotte Green.
Customers, please note, this is a leisure bowl, and we advise patrons not to play with their own balls.
Thanks to Steve Partridge for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. Opposite them, on my left, Alan Corran and Alexi Sale. Andy, who thinks War and Peace is a good read, but a total work of fiction?
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm afraid I'm going to be in a bad mood throughout the show because I hate Christmas. It's very difficult. I hate anguishing over it. It's so difficult to know what to get everyone. But Tony Blair has solved that because he's going to get everyone a war. I haven't decided yet whether I'm a hawk or a dove on all this. I don't know. I think I'm probably...
Is that some sort of sexual illusion?
I think politically on the war, I'm probably a confused and scared starling. I just don't know, but I just wish we could be spared this rather dismal, phony war that we're being put through as regards this dossier, because clearly they've all made their minds up. They obviously know. They know what weapons Saddam Hussein has got because we sold them to him in the 80s. What really vexed me was I saw Jeff Hoon. I'm not sure what his job is. I think he's Jack Straw's warm-up man. I'm not sure. But he was giving an interview about this dossier and how appalling it was. And he said, at first glance... You think this is a document that supposedly is going to be the basis for going to war? And, you know, well, I'd skip the boring bits, you know. I skim-read it on the beach. It's the charade of it. But anyway, that's that cheery Yuletide story. Mm. It's war imminent, but not inevitable.
Ah, but the other side to this is the reason why, if we go to war, we have to go soon. And it's a classically British reason, the weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, oh, you leave it till March. Baghdad in March, whoo, too hot for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed there was a... There was a thing in the paper last week that a soldier, one of the guards, shot somebody out of his window of the barracks because he was bored. But luckily he was using an air rifle because if he'd been using the standard British SA-80, well, the only people you can shoot with that apparently is yourself.
Britain has accused Saddam of lying about not having weapons of mass destruction. The government denounced the Iraqi document as being full of blatant lies until they realised they were actually reading Sherry's Superwoman statement by mistake. Linda, which new Labour MP could do with a backseat driver?
This is this extraordinary story of Geoffrey Robinson. Very, very rich man who used to run Jaguar. He's suspected of drink driving,
innocent,
isn't it?
Until proved guilty.
Absolutely.
Should put that on the record now, I think.
And... He's been charged with the suspicion of refusing to give a breathalyzer test. But the other extraordinary thing, driving without insurance. He's this billionaire, and he's driving around like some scally from Brookside with a little bit of paper on the windscreen saying insurance in the post and a beer map for the tax.
He's got no insurance, a suspicious substance found in the car. He's minicabbing, isn't he? He's lost his job as the Comptroller General or whatever it is. He's doing a bit of minicabbing, all right, darling. Seven to get to Piccadilly Circus from Piccadilly Circus.
For former Treasury Minister Geoffrey Robinson was charged this week having allegedly failed to take a breathalyzer test. A suspect item was found in the MP's car. It was a leaflet with the word socialism written on it.
He's lucky to have a car. Do you know about John Prescott's car? John Prescott is the only member of the cabinet who hasn't got a bulletproof car.
Fatty doesn't need one.
It's the only one without armour plating. I don't know if he knows that.
No,
that's
because he's from the north, isn't it? It's the equivalent of, you know, going out without a coat in the winter, isn't it?
It's the bullseye on the passenger door that he wants to worry about.
Alexei, welcome to the Tories.
Thank you.
Why have the Tories got the Norwegian blues this week?
I don't know. The only story that's been about the Tories is that them going down even further in the polls?
Yes.
What's it got to do with Norway?
Alan knows.
Parrots.
Oh, that the parrot joke. I get it.
Join the heavenly choir.
Well, anyway, it's hard to know what the government would have to do for the Tories to put on, if they can go down 4 points while, you know, Tony Blair saying he's been anally probed by aliens and. I just made that up. You can't do that, can't you?
We've never been sued by an alien. Yeah. I think Blair's clear of that.
No, it's good. God
bless God's a woman.
Did you see they tried to do a profile of Ian Duncan Smith the other night on Newsnight, and they went to interview his school friends. And none of them could remember him.
Well, I never know who he is. He pops up on the news and you think, oh, what was he in? Was it Midsummer Murders?
Yeah, Man Down a Hole in Casualty.
After a Guardian poll revealed that Ian Duncan Smith's Tories at their lowest point in the polls for 4 years, The Sun once again found itself portraying a bold Tory leader as a dead parrot. Duncan Smith is now so unpopular, he's thinking of changing his name to Brian Aldridge. Alan, listen to this. Alan, which Big Mouth struck again this week?
Big Mouth?
Yes.
Clue up.
Big Mouth strikes again. Alan?
I think you're talking about Al Gore.
No.
Now, that's an Australian accent that he did. It was
kind of... I know, wasn't really.
Well, he's not Foster.
Yes, Foster.
Foster's come out again, and he's writing a book, and he said Cherie Blair actually phoned him 3 times, and he gave a lock of his hair to see whether he was the son of James Hewitt, which he may well be. I think that's about it. I mean, he's now withdrawn back, and he's carrying on with his masterpiece. He's writing about his contact with Charlie Chaplin and that strange woman.
You know, we started this show with an apology. I'd like to apologise to Peter Foster, because I had him down as a rather inferior con man, and I based that on the fact that he had, in a previous scam, failed to hoodwink Tara Palmer Tomkinson. Which is true. And let's face it, she's not known for her ability to see through dodgy men, is she?
Hoodwink me, though, Andy. Because I used to buy that slimming drink of his, and it don't work. 20 pints of Foster's Lager, you'll balloon.
But the other reason I thought he was a bad con man was, I don't know if you saw how he signed off his emails to Cherie Blair, which were this little thing he said, "Your pleasure is my purpose." Which is so sort of obviously ingratiating, you might as well just have put, "Your pleasure is my purpose. P.S. I'm a con man, by the way." I think that statement should be shown, because that is the masterclass in the con man's technique. You also had that wonderful use of the key con man's phrase, which is, "by coincidence." He said, "I met Carol Kaplan by coincidence." And con men always have to say that, because, of course, they're always weaving such complicated stings that they have to say, you know, "by coincidence, I was chief cashier when the money went missing."
No one has ever lost money through my enterprises. As I've always said, I've made mistakes and I paid the price. I know I'm a flawed man, but I do not believe in my heart I am a bad man, declared the notorious con man Tony Blair. We start round two with a job ad from the Cornishman.
British International seeks applications for the position of temporary cabin crew for the summer season on their scheduled helicopter service from Penzance to the Isles of Scilly. Ideally, applicants should have a mature attitude when dealing with the public and be able to swim.
Thanks to Avril Lewin of Penzance for that. Andy, who's somewhat lacking in even the powdered milk of kindness.
We can do this.
Yeah, we can do this.
We can do this. Mr. Sale would like to break his virginity with this story.
Those imperialist Nestle, who are demanding something like £5.5 million from the Ethiopian government for a Snickers bar. And now Nestle want, like, millions and millions of them in compo, because they've been to one of them, you know, claims direct sort of fairs, you know, on the telly, like, have you been fallen down a hole because you're an idiot? Or poked yourself in the brain because you're a cretin? Or has your company been nationalised by an Ethiopian Marxist government? In this case, you're entitled to compensation.
What are they going to do? I mean, it's like, I don't understand. It's like third world debt. I don't understand. How are they going to get it? Why do they ever even offer any money? The whole of Brazil should just hide behind the settee.
They're gonna clamp every Ethiopian.
What?
They're going to clamp every Ethiopian.
Nestle, despite making profits last year of £2.5 billion, is suing the world's poorest state, Ethiopia, for £3.7 million as the country struggles to combat its worst famine since Live Aid. Asked whether he was not haunted by images of the starving on our screens, a Nestle spokesman explained he'd missed the coverage of the Paris fashion shows last year. Linda, why was Parliament besieged by a bunch of Hunts?
We know this.
We know this, yeah. This is because the countryside allowance... The Countryside Alliance, or rather the sort of the leerier end of it, the Continuity Countryside Alliance. Alliance? I don't know. Some rural slack-jawed yokels have... so much marched, just sort of shuffled on Parliament, haven't they? Sort of, God, the state, and there's about 3,000 of them, these Countryside Alliance people. 3,000 people, 12 different faces. State of them. It's like carnival time on the island of Dr. Moreau, isn't it? But so this is what it was. It was the element of the country, of the pro fox hunters who prefer the bugle to the ballot box.
They were holding loads of cardboard cutouts of dogs. And I was watching the coverage, and I was thinking, that is the answer. They could chase cardboard foxes with cardboard dogs. And that would be fun. They'd have the thrill of the chase, but none of the gore.
Well, I thought it was terrific. The police were doing it on horseback. I turned on the news and they said it's Countryside Alliance. These people ran down the street being chased by police on horseback. And I thought, they didn't change the law after all. So, just but pick your quarry.
It was a bit much when the police started going... that looked like sarcasm, I thought.
Police were forced to close the main entrance to Parliament this week after hundreds of pro-hunting supporters attempted to storm the Palace of Westminster while MPs were debating the issue. The Countryside Alliance claimed that fox hunting is a sport and is actually a lot less cruel than having to play against Roy Keane or Lee Bowyer on a Saturday afternoon. Alexi, listen to this. Alexi, who knows where they're going, but just can't get there.
This is, I assume, about the Alistair Darling's announcement that the Labour Party's 10-year transport strategy, in fact, isn't anything at all, ever. And the traffic congestion's going to get worse and all like that, really. So it's a complete catastrophe. I think, actually, the solution is that we could all... Because of the other announcement, the other stuff they've been leaking this week, what we should do is all travel on a pensioner.
Mm.
I mean, because it would be like a synergy then, wouldn't it? You know, you get pensioners to carry up and down the motorway sort of thing.
It seems to be the new government policy, doesn't it? The ministerial shrug. Because Alistair Darling, I mean, he admitted... Yeah, no, to be honest with you, the target...
Nothing to do with me, mate.
The targets, you know, Byers and Prescott said that, but the targets are nonsense. In one way, I applaud their honesty, but, you know, it would be nice to see a little bit of positive thinking. Or even ask for suggestions.
Yeah. It's been revealed this week that the most popular fares on Virgin Cross Country are going to rise by 5%, twice the rate of inflation. It's called Virgin Cross Country because passengers are encouraged to bring shorts, a vest and running shoes.
An idea might be, because, you know, like Connex, they, you know, all their trains are late and they're all built in 1937 and all that. So they gave them £58 million, didn't they? But it might be an idea if they didn't do that. You know, like if you really screw up...
You don't get anything.
You don't get any money. I thought I'd get a cheap round of applause for that and some kind of pity and laughter. You know, you don't come on a Radio 4 quiz like this for people to be critical at your material, do you? You know.
So you've not been on the show before, right? You're confusing us with the moral maze. Alan, why are pensioners not getting any younger?
Well, as a on the threshold of pensionhood, I realise I have to do the news quiz till I'm 93. Because this wonderful new government policy, which actually is really rather brilliant, if you work until you drop dead, the government has to spend absolutely nothing on you at all. So we go on flogging ourselves till we drop. That's why I shall be with you for a bit. I may even do the moral maze. Possibly sing Sailing By. Charlotte was still there. And I shall be hanging around Broadcasting House with my tin cup.
Some professions you won't be able to carry on that long, though, will you? Gigolos won't be able to work into their 90s, will they?
The Secretary of State promised legislation to ban compulsory retirement ages, which is very bad news if you thought that was the last Rolling Stones tour. The government has announced a new strategy to keep people in work. They're calling it hypothermia. We start round three with an item from a shoe shop window in Cambridge.
Buy two shoes, get third free.
Thanks to Jeff Kent for that. Andy, what are 3,000 vehicles doing in Davy Jones's car park?
This is one of these anti-congestion schemes. I think it's Ken Livingston. What you do is you commission ships to sail around the British Channel, ploughing into... Did I say the British Channel then?
It was
rather grand, wasn't it? The English Channel. It's, a ship full of new cars crashed into another ship, and all the new cars are now at the bottom of the sea. But they're talking about salvaging in them, aren't they? That's going to test the abilities of some second-hand car salesman, I think. Oh, it's fine, that's all right, yeah.
The next day, a third ship ran into it on Tuesday, ran into the wreck of the first.
To make sure.
That's an accident black spot, isn't it, there?
Well, you'll soon be able to, if the navigation gets any worse, you'll be able to walk from Calais to... Don't need a channel, just be promenade.
There's a whole sea there for them to go around each other. It can't be that difficult, surely, was it? They're always crashing into each other, these ships, are they? Maybe it's Geoffrey Robinson driving.
Allegedly. A Norwegian cargo ship...
No, not allegedly. If I'd meant allegedly, I'm saying I am accusing Geoffrey Robinson of sinking those ships with all those cars. All right. And if he wants to sue me, he can.
A Norwegian cargo ship, the Tricolor, along with its cargo of 3,000 luxury cars, remains submerged in the English Channel, where it's already been hit by two other vessels. The vast majority of cars will be stuck there forever, with no hope at all of rescue. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the traffic report for the M25. Linda, why will it soon be possible to join the jet set by staying at home?
That will probably be because... You can join the jet set by staying at home by... Andy?
What? You've interrupted my doodle now, look. That was starting to look like an animal. Steiner.
I know this.
Yeah, there you are.
We don't, I've been reading the papers all week. Because it's the first time on this show, and I thought you'd all do that as well.
No, we grow out of that.
Well, I'm getting paid to read the papers, and I was all thrilled and everything. And I've got a bill, by the way, for this. well, I've forgotten what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Because there's up for sale on eBay, which is an internet, site. There's a plane like on a stick. It's a 727, I think, and they're selling it like as a home.
It's been converted into a home.
Oh, is it? All right.
I'm surprised Sherry Blair plane. Hasn't made an offer on it. Well, I asked Peter here.
A model plane?
No, a real
737 is a real plane.
On a stick.
On a stick.
Yeah, they're the latest thing. Them planes.
These are
like a nice long.
You know what'll happen? Yeah. Planes will get squatters. They'll be sitting on the runway overnight. A few squatters will come in. They'll shove a stick underneath the bottom, convert it into a townhouse dwelling, and that'll be.
The plane spotter's dream home, a converted Boeing 727, has been auctioned off on the internet by Tennessee-based Max Power Aerospace Incorporated. Bidders were attracted by the unique nature of the home and the fact that it has 8 emergency exits for when the in-laws come round. Alexei, who wants to get back to where he once didn't belong?
This is a story about Paul McCartney, who has on the latest... his latest album. He's reversed the order of the writing credits. So where they used to read Lennon-McCartney, they now read McCartney-Lennon and Yoko Ono. And he said they would have always been like that, but he got to the meeting late where they decided on what order they went in, which is just nonsense, isn't it? Because it's obviously alphabetical. So the next thing he's doing, he's going to pretend that the alphabet's in a different order. And he's going to say, no, M, mate, no. No, it comes before L, mate, yeah.
It's a rhythm thing. Lennon-McCartney sounds, but McCartney-Lennon just sounds like a firm of solicitors, doesn't it?
That's right.
It sound right.
It's like Posh and Becks. Oh, what are they up to? Becks and Posh? Not interested. No. It's like Pace and Hale. That don't work. It's Hale and Pace. Actually, that's a very bad example.
Yeah.
They're still going, you know. They're in panto.
They never are.
Yeah, well, I used to think, you know, it's like, you know, like in the the genius.
They're still doing the two Rons.
Oh, yeah, they are. But I used to think it's like, you know, like the great double acts like Laurel and Hardy, that Laurel worked really hard and Hardy used to go and play golf, and Morecambe Wise used to, Morecambe was a really hard worker and the other one, Wise, used to go and play golf. And with Hale and Pace, they both used to go and play golf.
You remember when they were on Parky? You know, when Morecambe Wise were interviewed by Parky? Parkinson said to Eric, what would you have been if you hadn't been comedians? And Eric said, Mike and Bernie Winters.
If the case does go to court, Yoko has a killer exhibit in her favour, the frog chorus. Alan, your last question. Why are Scottish hedgehogs feeling flat?
Yeah, they're being, well, it's how you pronounce it in Scots, isn't it? They're being culled. But they're being both culled and killed. They're on the Hebrides, and they're eating the eggs of rare birds. They're going to kill the hedgehogs. I don't know how they're going to do it. Probably lay a motorway across it and ask two juggernauts to come up. Or else they'll probably just feed them a Scottish diet. I don't know that one of these deep-fried Mars... I'd be dead. But the plan is to kill 5,000 hedgehogs.
That's another hunting compromise, isn't it? Hedgehog hunting.
Well, hunting with hedgehogs.
Yeah, the thrill of the chase is missing a little bit, but I mean... these hedgehogs, what I didn't understand was that they were introduced to keep down garden pests, but now they're eating the eggs of seabirds. But the seabirds nest on cliffs. These are hard hedgehogs. They are climbing cliffs.
Sort of want it to work. You want evolution to work, don't you? You want to say, OK, let's leave the hedgehogs, the cliffs and the birds and see who wins. Instead of saying, we're from Scottish heritage and we like to... You don't want that interference.
Is this in Scotland or the Galapagos Islands?
I don't speak Galapagos. That was a Scots accent.
Scottish Natural Heritage has voted to cull the 5,000-strong hedgehog population in the islands of Wist and Benbecula because they're threatening rare ground-breeding bird life. In 1974, 7 hedgehogs were introduced to the Outer Hebrides to control garden pests. The experiment was so successful, Charlie Dimmock hasn't been seen in Scotland for years. Before we reveal the scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Charlie Bateman, and it's from the Russia Journal. A teenager blew his own cover after stealing a mobile phone from a house in North Keswick. For when the householder who suspected him dialed the mobile phone number and asked, "Is that you, Duncan?" the guileless thief replied, "Yes."
Linda.
This is sent in by Diana Barrow of Aberdeenshire, and it's from the Past Times catalogue. Item K, Christmas pudding charms. Sterling silver charms to put in your pudding. Bring good fortune. Potential choking hazard. Do not use with food.
Alexi.
It's from the Chesterfield Advertiser, 6th of December, and it says, Co-op worker seeks male company for the oblivious reasons. And then it says, likes cross-stitch and collecting wedding cars. No idea what that means.
Alan.
Well, I'm thinking of the listeners at home. I've got a cutting, but I also want to do this and do it slowly for the listeners at home in case you want to keep it in on the producer does, because it was sent by John Julius Norwich, a great broadcaster. And he says, and it's true, and you've got to say it slowly, just to prove that it is true, because I have to copy it down. President Clinton of the USA, right, the anagram is to copulate, he finds interns. And that's good. And it worked. Anyway, that's not my cutting. My cutting is from Northampton Mercury. There was a shock for Roebridge villagers last Thursday when the bus shelter they'd been demanding for 2 years as a safety measure was finally opened. The first bus to arrive demolished it.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Andy and Linda have 10, but Alexi and Alan have more than twice as many. Before we leave you, here's an item from the Aberdeen Evening Press.
At the height of the gale, the harbour master radioed the Coast Guard and asked him to estimate the wind speed. The Coast Guard replied that he didn't have a wind gauge, but if it was any help, the wind had just blown his Land Rover off the cliff.
That's goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Linda Smith, Alan Corran and Alexi Sale. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Paul McKenzie and George Poles. And the producer was Simon Nichols.